Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Angino. Thank you so much for tuning in as we continue to celebrate the centennial for KDKA. Every Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour, we take a look back at the technology and especially the hosts that have made KDKA what it is, really a part of what someplace is special when it comes to Pittsburgh as well. And joining us for the hour this evening is none other than Jack Bogut, the 15-year host of Mornings here on KDKA. Jack joining us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. Jack, welcome back to KDKA Radio. Good to have you on.
Oh, Robert, thank you. I'm delighted that I still fit through the transmitter.
I am too. What I would like to do is kind of go back in time, if we could. I want to get to your career at KDKA, but I want to go back to your earliest memories of KDKA. How far back do we have to go?
Well, this is going to seem really strange, but when I was in elementary school at a little country schoolhouse about a quarter of a mile from my grandmother's house in extreme northern Montana, we had a project. Are you familiar with Cracker Jacks, Robert?
Yes, Cracker Jacks. Yeah, you get the box of candy-coated
popcorn.
Every
box of Cracker Jacks, you got some kind of a little prize. And that that year, one of the prizes was a crystal with a little copper wire on it. And what you were supposed to do is to take that copper wire and wrap it around a Mother's Oats box, an oatmeal cereal box. And if the timing was right, you could pick up a radio station from somewhere in the world with no battery or anything, just through that little crystal. And I heard an announcer say, "This is KDKA Radio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania."
Now, maybe the strangest part about that, because that does sound strange that you could take a crystal and copper wire around an oatmeal box and hear a radio station, was that you didn't do this in Pennsylvania or even Ohio. Where were you when you did this?
Montana. In extreme northern Montana, up very near the Canadian border. And it was a very rural community. We didn't have electricity. Everything was either battery or gasoline driven. And what are the odds that you should hear this radio station coming in on an oatmeal box and then wind up working there all those years later?
Wow. Just remarkable, to say the least. What was life like in that very small town in Montana?
Well, we were in a farming community, and everybody was self-sufficient and fiercely guarded their own independence. But whenever there was an emergency or a problem in the community, we all banded together like family, and we became one single community. There was only one church. It was a little Lutheran church. and Catholics and Protestants alike went there because that was the only one in the neighborhood. And we grew most of what we had to eat. We raised crops that generated some income so we could buy those things that we couldn't make for ourselves, namely flour and sugar and stuff like that. But we were totally self-sufficient, not lonely at all, and we simply took joy in one another and the elbow room that we had.
Jack Bogut is with us, 15-year veteran of KDK from 1968 to 1983 and an inductee into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. The idea of working in what would have been a very advanced technology in a big city like Pittsburgh as compared to where you were born and raised in Montana, the idea of being here, probably the furthest thing from your mind, what were you wanting to be when you grew up as a kid?
Had absolutely no idea, Robert. We kind of took joy in our own independence and occasionally took joy in each other, but we fiercely defended our elbow room. And I was always an extremely shy youngster, but felt most comfortable when I was up in front of an audience auctioning off pot holders or cakes or cookies or whatever it was for the church on weekends. And so I had no idea what I wanted to be. I was, looking back on it now, I was pretty sure I didn't want to be a farmer.
Okay.
Because the work was too hard. I was looking for something a little easier.
And when did radio become a possibility for you?
Well, we used to listen to radio like people watch television or go on social media now. We didn't have TV. We had radio, which was the theater of the mind. And on weekends, during the week we were too busy, but on weekends we would all gather around the battery-operated radio in my grandmother's living room, and we would listen to programs like Fibber McGee and Molly and the FBI and Peace and War and Mr. District Attorney, and some of the women in those days would listen to soap operas on radio. And again, it was theater of the mind. So kind of a quick story here. We used to listen to a radio station in Billings, Montana. The call letters were KGHL. I don't know what that stood for. But I would hear the announcer say after every program, NBC for the Midland Empire, KGHL Radio, Billings. And years later, we lived in Dillon, Montana, and a guy for a wedding present got a radio station from his father-in-law. Is this going too fast?
No, go ahead. So he gets a radio station?
Yes, he got a construction permit for a radio station from his father-in-law, and he built a radio station just north of Dillon, Montana.
All right.
And the guy had a very, very good voice, but almost no skills for anything, certainly not for being a radio broadcaster, so... Because he had no skills in the business, he would hire anybody. And he hired a kid who played saxophone in a dance band that I had when I was in high school and then later on in college. And I heard my friend's voice coming out of the radio in my mother's car, and I was so impressed. Tom Harrington was famous.
Right.
And so I went out to see him, hoping that he would continue to speak to me as a friend. And and I walked in, and he was on the air at the time. And during a record, I said, "Oh, Tom, how do you get this kind of a job?" And he said, "Well, you have to make an audition tape." I said, "Did you?" And he said, "No, I didn't have to. I was the first employee, but." were getting audition tapes from everybody else, said, well, how do you make a tape? There's that tape machine over there, and I'll give you a piece of news copy, mm-hmm. and I'll start the machine and leave the room, and then you can just read that news copy. Robert, do you remember the first time you heard your recorded voice?
Yes.
It was a shock, wasn't it?
It sure was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because, it's like, who am I even listening to at this point?
Yes. Right? Well, that's because, you know, when we speak, we listen to bone-conducted sound. We resonate in our nasal cavities and in our head, and we sound one way to us. When we record our voice, we're getting air-conducted sound with no embellishments at all, and it seems kind of strange.
It does. Jack, do me a favor. Hold on right there. I have to pause for a moment. We'll come back, and we'll listen to Jack's recollections of that first audition tape that then launched the radio career that brought him to Pittsburgh to host mornings on KDKA and eventually be inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Jack Boga joining us for the hour. I'm Mangino as we look back on KDKA Radio's centennial. Back with more in a moment on KDKA Radio. Welcome back. I'm Mangino. With me, Jack Boga, a longtime morning host on KDKA Radio from 1968 to 1983. A lot of wonderful memories made. And we're getting to the point of Jack being here at KDKA for those years, but we're starting off where it all began, all the way back into Dillon, Montana, where he was able to make his very first demo tape. And Jack, do you recall what it was that you read for that demo tape?
No, not at all. It was a piece of news copy, and I was so shocked when I heard my voice coming back out of the tape recorder that I forgot what I had just read.
It's okay.
So, you know, Robert, I thought, that doesn't sound very good. So, you know, I'm going to continue to look for something else to do. And so I left. About a week later, I went out to the radio station to check with Tom and make sure that he would still speak to me and check for his availability on a dance schedule. And there was a rather rotund guy standing in there, and he said, who do you want to see here? And I said, well, Tom Harrington. He said, well, he's on the air right now. And I said, yeah, I'll wait. And he said, who are you? And I said, I'm Jack Boga. And he said, oh, didn't you make a tape a week or so ago? And I said, yes. And he said, how'd you like to go to work next Monday morning? And I said, well, is the tape good enough for me to go to work? And he said, no. But he said, I have to have somebody in here Monday morning. So I said, well, you know, being a sophisticated, resourceful kid, I said, well, I guess we ought to talk about money. And he said, yes. What about 25 cents an hour? And I said, do I have to pay you or you pay me? He said, no, I would actually pay you 25 cents an hour. And that's what it was when I went to work in that first radio job.
My goodness. So, and getting that opportunity, were you given more hours and more time slots at that station, or did you then springboard from there quickly?
Well, no, Robert, if you remember your beginning days in radio, you were probably, like all the rest of us, fairly awful in the beginning, and then once in a while you would have a good day where you wouldn't make a lot of mistakes, and you'd say, woo.
Oh.
So apparently I had a pretty good day, and a radio owner from another market happened to hear me, and based on what he heard, he offered me a job in the state capital of Helena, Montana. So I went to work there and then had a chance to audition at another radio station in Billings, and guess which one?
KGHL.
KGHL, and I can't tell you how proud I was and a little bit spooked when I went on the air that first time and says, NBC for the Midland Empire, KGHL Radio, Billings. Billings. Now, here is another situation where I heard it for a long time and then wound up working on the radio station that I admired some time ago. Now, let me continue on this journey. The radio station was bought by the flagship station of the Intermountain Radio Network. That's from Mexico to Canada, up and down the Rocky Mountains. And I was transferred to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
So I'm working in Salt Lake City, and one of the guys on the air said, Bogut, yeah, brace yourself. You're going to get a visit from so-and-so at this advertising agency. And I said, what's that all about? And he said, well, the NAB convention, the National Association of Broadcasters Convention, is going to have... It's going to be held here in Salt Lake City, and this guy is putting together a composite tape, and he's going to come in and ask you to write a bunch of stuff and record it so they can play it representative of Salt Lake City at the convention. So sure enough, this advertising agency guy came and said, Jack, and he talked about the whole thing, and I said, he said, would you be willing to do this? And I said, well, answer two questions for me. Number one, is there any money in it? And number two, have you been to every other guy in town and been turned down? And he said, no and yes. So I thought, you know what? I'm not really doing anything special here. So, yeah, why not?
Why?
So, I wrote a bunch of stuff and recorded it and put the tape together, and the NAB convention was in town. And I was doing the afternoon show at that time, and the owner of the radio station came in, and he said, Jack, he said, I want to introduce you to Phil Nolan of Westinghouse Broadcasting. He's in town for the NAB convention and just wanted to stop by and say hello.
And can we pick up that conversation in a moment, Jack?
We will.
All right. We are getting close to Jack coming to Pittsburgh. I can feel it. We'll give you details coming up next on KDK Radio. Welcome back. I'm Mangino. We are spending the hour with none other than Jack Bogut, longtime morning show host on KDK for 15 years from 1968 to 1983, an inductee into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And we started off back in Montana, just growing up and back out in the country, people very much self-reliant. And that first experience with KDK radio with a Cracker Jack box and a little crystal inside with a copper wire that you wrap around a circular oatmeal container and get to hear a radio station, who knows which one, but he heard KDKA, and that was the beginnings of his experience with KDK. And then going into radio, really by accident, as he has been telling it, and now in Salt Lake City with an opportunity to speak with someone from Westinghouse Broadcasting. And I have a feeling, Jack, we're getting really close to you coming to Pittsburgh.
Well, we are because, I said to Phil Nolan, the national program manager, I said, well, Phil, nice to have you here. Welcome to Salt Lake City. This is a great town. I'm sure you and he left. Little did I know that based on that tape that I had recorded, he stayed in town an extra day just to listen to my radio show. Oh. And called me and offered me a job at KDKA Radio in Pittsburgh, which I turned down.
What?
Because I had heard that Pittsburgh was a big, dirty steel town where if you wore a white shirt, you had to change it at noon and blah, blah, blah. So... I said, well, Phil, I really appreciate the offer, but when I make a move, I want to go someplace nice. And he said, I'm disappointed to hear that. He said, we do have a radio station in Los Angeles, KFWB, and how would you like to go to work there? And I said, now that sounds great. So he put me in touch with another program manager, and we made some tentative plans, and I got a call from this program manager, and he said, Jack, yes, I'm headed back to New York City. Really? He said, yeah, KFWB is going to go all news, and there's no job available there. How would you like to come to Pittsburgh? And I said, yeah. And he said, look, why don't you come back and take a look at it before you make up your mind? Okay. So in 1968, in January, I flew back to Pittsburgh and landed at the old airport. And the program manager, a guy named Neil McIntyre, picked me up in his sports car, and we followed a salt and cinders truck from the old airport all the way into downtown Pittsburgh. And his sports car was 2 inches off the ground, and we were nothing but a mass of cinders and ice crystals. And breathing was tough, too. So I said, well, where's Pittsburgh? Are we getting close? And he said, yeah, we're almost there. He said, you'll know it when we get there. So we dove down off Green Tree Hill, entered the Fort Pitt tunnels. It had bricks in the road surface back then, and it was like a drum roll. And all of a sudden, we burst out of the end like a bullet, and there was Pittsburgh. I had never in my life. And he took me up on Mount Washington to one of the restaurants up there, and we had dinner and watched the towboats push barges up and down the river. And in 1968, Pittsburgh was a relatively clean town, and it was absolutely elegant. And I thought, boy, if he offers me a job here and the money is right, I'm going to take this in a heartbeat. And that was my introduction to Pittsburgh. And Joni and the kids and I jumped in a car in Salt Lake City and drove all the way back. And, you know, we've been here ever since.
Now, let's go back, if we could, just a little bit. When did you begin to realize that what city, what station that, you know what, I could make a living doing this for myself, explore the career that I have a passion for, and then take care of my wife and kids at the same time?
You know, Robert, I don't know that I ever really thought about that. I think my career was largely an accident. It was good fortune. For example, one of the things, I don't know exactly how to explain this. One of the things that set me apart from other people on the air was that I spoke to the listener one-on-one. I never spoke to an audience. And I have been told by various people over the years that I had a personal connection to each listener in the audience because I treated them as one person. Mm-hmm. The reason I did that was because I was scared. I couldn't... to think that KDKA with, you know, well over 100,000 people were listening, that really scared me. So I felt a lot more comfortable talking to just one person mm-hmm. than I did to a multitude audience. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. It
and,
does.
So consequently, you know, I used to communicate with just one person. And, well, a quick story. One morning, the weather was bad and traffic was really slow, and we were in Gateway Center, of course. And I looked out the window, and I said, traffic is really ugly this morning. Just in case you feel like you're all alone in this travail, would you simply blink your lights to let you know that there are other people listening to this radio station and you're not in this alone? Every headlight on the Fort Pitt Bridge in downtown went on, and it scared the hell out of me to think that there were that many people listening. But that, again, that was the power of KDKA radio. We were the 10th largest market in America.
Mm-hmm.
And KDKA radio started the whole thing. And then, Robert, I don't mean to roam around here too much, but consider this. I was the luckiest guy on the planet when I got here, because most of the ingredients for a successful radio show were already here. Ed Chauncey did the news. Bill Steinbach did the news. Bob Prince did Pirate Baseball. Tom Bender did Steelers football. And we had five spokes in a six-spoke wheel, and I walked in, and I was the number six part to this wheel that was ready to roll. And if I didn't mess it up, I was almost guaranteed success. Now, you talk about timing and opportunity and good fortune. They were all rolled together all at one time. So
perfect.
It was amazing.
Jack Bogut is with us, a longtime host of Mornings on KDKA from 68 to 83, now back with his vignettes that you get to hear multiple times a day on KDKA. He's also an inductee into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Well, we're going to pause here for a moment. When we come back, some of the fondest memories that Jack has with KDKA, and with life, sometimes there are regrets. Does he have any? We'll find out. Coming up next on KDKA Radio. I'm Angino. Welcome. So glad you're able to join us as we celebrate KDKA Radio Centennial. We do this each and every Wednesday in the 8 o'clock hour with different guests that have great connections back to KDKA. And one that clearly does is Jack Bogut, a beloved member of the KDKA family. And once again, morning host from 68 to 83 and inductee into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. And Jack, I want to give you an opportunity in these final segment that we have here to talk about some of the fondest memories. I guess the one that's the big standout for everyone would be the Farkleberry cookie. But I wanted to talk about a couple of others before we got to that story.
Sure.
What would you say are some of the things that stand out to most to you in that 15-year career?
Well, number one, Robert, my experience in Salt Lake City, putting something back into the business just because it should be done, was a really good object lesson, and I remembered that when I got to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was a member of the Press Old Newsboys, where business people used to stand on street corners with a copy of the Pittsburgh Press, and they would sell it for money for Children's Hospital. I got here so grateful and a bit overwhelmed that I was on KDKA radio. I wanted to put something back. And we had broadcast for a children's hospital in Salt Lake City, which was a wonderful place, still is, one of the great children's hospitals in America. And when I heard Children's Hospitals and the Pittsburgh Press, I thought, wow. I wonder if I can be a part of this. The year that I got here, 1968, we asked people to scotch tape pennies to a piece of cardboard and put in an envelope to mail to KDKA Radio to donate to the Press Old Newsboys Fund. And it was supposed to be a penny for each year of each member of your family. So I thought, you know what, this is a 50,000-watt clear channel radio station, the first one ever. Maybe we could raise more money if we asked people to mail paper instead of coins. Mm-hmm. So I couched this and, hey, don't give the mailman a hernia or make him lean into the wind with that bag on his shoulder. Mail paper instead of coins. So that year, the preceding year, they had raised $1,200. That year, we raised $12,000.
Wow.
Because people were mailing paper instead of coins.
Right.
Well, then, we used to broadcast both in Montana and in Salt Lake City from department store windows for various things. And I thought, wouldn't it be a good idea to get out on the street and broadcast from some other location? So we went to the Joseph Horn Company and asked the advertising manager if we could have one of the windows during Christmas time. He said, "You've got to be kidding. We're going to give up one of the windows of display space with a Christmas display, and you're going to go in there and you're going to broadcast and have people donate money to Children's Hospital." Said, "Yeah, that's pretty much it." Well, I was doing ad-lib commercials for the Joseph Horn Company at that time, and we had a pretty good connection, and they agreed. The sales department said, "Well, we better offer this to Gimbel's and Kaufman's, or their feelings are going to be hurt," and they both turned it down. I think we raised $25,000 that first year by people dropping money in a barrel, and the second year we did it, Kaufman's and Gimbel's were banging on the sales door wanting to do it there. So we wound up doing the Children's Hospital broadcast for 3 weeks every Christmas, and it grew by leaps and bounds. Robert, 1 year, the steel companies started to compete against one another, and Jones and Laughlin and U.S. Steel were competing against each other, and they brought down $50,000 in cash and put it in a barrel at Gimbel's window. Can you imagine?
Unbelievable.
And it just got better and better.
My.
Year after year after year. And we used to joke with the program manager and say, "All right, I'm bringing you a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do a remote broadcast for charity, and we want to do it from a department store window, and we want to interview people on the street, regular people, and we want to ask them the same questions over and over again, and we want to hear the same answers over and over again as people drop money into a collection barrel." Snicker, snort. What a terrible idea that was on the face of it. But it was a holiday Christmas card because everybody that came up to the window,
mm-hmm.
We asked the same questions and they gave the same answers, but for their own audience. And, you know, you were talking about real people collecting real money and singing real Christmas carols. It grew by leaps and bounds and touched the heartstrings and opened the wallets of most of the people in Pittsburgh.
Talk to us briefly about the creation of the Farkleberry cookie.
All right. A lady sent me an article out of the Denver Post, and it was about a Farkleberry Bush Festival in North Dakota. Now, have you ever been to North Dakota?
No, sir.
Okay, it's not only flat. The state tree in North Dakota is a telephone pole. So to have a Farkleberry Bush Festival in North Dakota, I thought was really, really funny.
Okay.
And talked about it on the air. Well, every morning I used to play a march for the kids to get up and march around the breakfast table, because that's what our kids were doing. And so I would say, "All right, kids, it's time to start your heart and eat a Farkleberry tart and tear the world apart." Where that came from, I have absolutely no idea, but Farkleberry was at the back of my mind. A guy named Mike Levine, who did an evening talk show, he said, "Jack," he said, "start your heart, eat a Farkleberry tart, and tear the world apart." He said, "I live for the time I hear you say Tarkleberry." Well, Farkleberry tarts then became a topic of conversation, and somebody said, you know, you ought to start serving these and sell them for Children's Hospital. So I went to Jim Delagatti, a really wonderful guy who owned all the McDonald's restaurants in Western Pennsylvania, and the guy who invented the Big Mac, incidentally. Mm-hmm. Went to Jim Delagatti and said, Jim, could you make something resembling a Farkleberry tart? He said, what would that be? And I said, well, some kind of a cookie with maybe some red food coloring in it or something, and we'll just claim it's Farkleberries. And he said, okay. So he did every single year, and we had Farkleberry tarts and Farkleberry snickerdoodles, Farkleberry brew. We had all kinds of Farkleberry stuff over the years that generated hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue for Children's Hospital. It was just magic.
It sure was. The entire time, magic with Jack Bogut. Once again, KDK Radio Morning Host from 1968 to 1983 and inductee into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. What an absolutely memorable hour. Jack, thank you so much for spending it with us.
Oh, Robert, I'm honored. And an opportunity to talk about all of those good things in my life seems a bit selfish.
But it's so warming to our hearts, and we thank you for it, Jack.
That's great. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you very much for listening. And as we go and take a look back at KDK Radio over 100 years, we'll do it again next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, right here on KDK Radio.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.